Welcome to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. And today, Darsha and I are going to interview a really, really dear friend of mine called Alex. Alex and I have known each other for a number of years. We've worked together. We spend a lot of time together. She's my lunchtime buddy. Welcome, Alex, to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I was born in China and I moved over to New Zealand when I was 5. I grew up there, did dentistry at the University of Otago, one of the best unis in the world. And then I moved to Perth, followed by Melbourne, and now I live here.
So did you do all your education in the University of Otago?
Yes, yeah. I did. Oh, well, later on I did fashion design at Curtin University.
Oh my God.
I was just waiting for her to say it.
So not all of my education.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did 2 years at Curtin. I did a fashion label.
Yeah.
So after Perth, and I moved to Melbourne not for fashion but for family reasons, I actually decided to start a label, unfortunately, shortly before COVID.
Yeah.
Yes. It featured in one of the digital programs, the Melbourne Fashion Festival, during that time, which was great. And I really enjoyed it. But in the end, I think it was too much of my energy, my money, my focus, and it no longer became fun, because I think with fashion in particular, it's not just the creative side. It's also a business sense, marketing, all of that as well.
It's more involved. The other thing as well, which Alex hasn't said, is that she's actually an incredible artist, and I actually have one of her paintings.
Oh my gosh, yes. Alex.
Yes, I also paint.
Did you study painting too, or you, that's just a natural talent of yours?
Well, I wouldn't say a natural talent. I say, you know, as a hobby, I like to paint. I find that, you know, people say that they go into a state of flow. For me, that's painting. So I can spend hours and not even realize. I really enjoy it as a way to, I think, regulate stress. Mm. And that's why I do it. I never did classes.
No. Yeah.
And you can tell from my paintings, I believe.
Can you, though?
I'm going to show you a picture afterwards. Okay. It's wonderful. So the reason why we ask Alex onto the podcast is Alex and I were having lunch one day and we were talking about the podcast, and she was just saying, I could come onto your podcast and talk about broken hearts and dating. And I was like, oh, we've got to do this. So before we start, Alex, what generation do you belong to?
I am a millennial.
And what's the most millennial thing about you?
That I don't use Snapchat. I would say that is definitely the most millennial thing about me.
And I had to ask whether Snapchat was still around. So clearly it is a millennial thing that we're not on there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
This is validation right here.
When I was doing some research on the generations a little while ago, it told me that Gen Z was a big Snapchat. And as is the alphas as well. Like, that's a big thing at the moment. All right, Alex. Tell me about dating for a millennial. I want to hear a negative and a positive stance about it at the moment.
Okay. So I'm 35. I'm in that unique age group where I am looking to really get married, find a life partner. I do want children, and it's an interesting biological age for a woman because time is a factor.
Mm.
I also think the dating environment today, some of my values don't align with other people's, and I think it's much more difficult now if what you want is a monogamous long-term relationship with children. So I would say that's the negative. And we'll get on to this later on. But I also think dating apps being the norm is also a negative, particularly for a person like myself. I think the positives is at age 35, you know who you are. you know what you want. And it makes dating a lot easier than when I was much younger and didn't know any of these things.
So when did you start dating?
Well, I would say in high school, so young. So since I was 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when do you think the switch was from, like, we were talking off mic earlier and you were talking about, well, I've had experience in both. I've had experience of meeting people organically and I've also had the app experience. When do you think the switch came that all of a sudden people started using dating app? What was your experience around that and why? Why all of a sudden?
That's a really good question. I would say when I was around 28, I'd say seven years ago, it would be considered more mainstream. It wasn't something that people hid. They, you know, met their partners on apps. And it was much more of a story that you heard from people than before. So I would think about 7 years ago, that was probably when I noticed the change. As to why, I think we're in an age where technology is becoming more a part of our lives and it was bound to happen. I also think it's a way for people who are afraid of rejection, who is naturally quite shy, who's very introverted, but who still want a partner, an opportunity to really make that happen.
When you're using an app and you're swiping left or right and things like that, like, is it left? Like, look, I should tell people I've never been on a dating app ever. So for me, this is like a lesson. How about you, Dash?
Yeah, I've never been.
So I don't know.
Okay,
so tell us a little bit
about the process.
Apps. Like, what's the process of that? Like,
well, I would say it depends on which app you're actually on. And for example, I guess the three most popular ones that people have probably heard of, Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge. Hinge is the one that I use now.
Yeah.
And that's a lot more detailed. So if you like someone, you like one of their pictures or comments. And then once you've done that, they can see that and then they can choose to match with you or not.
Okay. And do you have to put, like, I take it, what sort of detail do you have to give it? Because you said this is more detailed. Is that like a photograph? Is that like how old you are? Like, what sort of information are you expected to share in that first, you know, when you're putting yourself out there?
So with Hinge, it's probably the most detailed, but you can obviously choose the level of detail that you want to disclose. I'm not sure what's mandatory and what's not, but there are actually a series of questions. So what age you are, what star sign you are, should you wish. You have a few prompts where you answer, you know, what is your love language, things like
really?
That. You know, what is your idea of a perfect date? What are you looking for? I can actually pull up my profile. Let me just do that, actually, and then I can answer this question for you.
Because you know what I find fascinating is, like, asking things like star signs. A lot of people don't even believe in those.
But they still put it in.
But they put it
in.
A
lot of people do believe in those.
Oh, okay.
Too. Yes. I mean, everyone's heard about a Scorpio, so if I was a Scorpio, I probably wouldn't put it on there.
I don't even know what a Scorpio means. I mean, maybe we need to have a whole episode on star signs.
You should have an episode.
I last went to a very big dinner yesterday and a lot of them are single there and we got talking and one of the girls has just recently got a partner on Bumble.
Yeah.
And he put his age as 42 and when she met him, he's actually 52.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is it a verified age? Like how
and
people
she,
can put anything.
She's 51 and she put her age as 48 because it puts you into a different category of meeting people. If you're over 50, it's a different category, and if you're under 50, so a lot of the over 50s are lying about their age into the 40s category to get access to that 40 category age group, which I thought was hilarious.
So, okay, I've got my Hinge profile up, so I can tell you exactly what's on there. So you put up six of your best photos, Instagram-worthy photos, as you will. You answer usually three questions. Questions like, dating me is like something that's non-negotiable for me, the key to my heart, things like that. Fun little prompts.
Yeah. Where you write chocolate.
Yeah. What did I say? Do you guys want to hear mine?
Yeah.
I said, dating me is like pretty all right. Something that's non-negotiable for me is having a slightly above average personality. And the key to my heart is probably food. Big fan.
Love it.
I love that.
It's all very true and that's authentic to who I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's no, like, poetry in there.
Oh, yes. No, thank you. Yes. Yeah, and then you can disclose your star sign. You can disclose your location. You can also set your age range. Mm-hmm. So if you make that as a deal breaker, then the only people that should see your profile or that you view should only fit into that area. You can also put in what you do for a living. You can say, do you want children or not? Mm. So it's quite thorough.
It's quite detailed.
Yeah. There's even a question on whether you do drugs. It's all on there. So you can choose to disclose certain things and how tall you are is on there as well, your ethnicity, all of that.
And so you do that and you've put it all up. What happens next? Do you get a lot of responses? Like, I feel like you would, but...
I've definitely gone on dates when I have been on the app. So, yes, I would say that there is quite a bit of a response.
Yeah. And so once you get a response, then do you just start chatting over Hinge, do you? You can just go back and forth and just get a feel for each other and things like that. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then what makes you pull the trigger? Let's meet for a drink.
I think if they've got good conversation, so a good sense of humour, and someone, for me personally, someone that responds within a reasonable time frame, I find that tells me that you're someone who is willing to put in an effort.
Yeah.
And also I think it's a good way of me to tell whether I would get along with you or not. And if I feel like we have great banter, then that's when I'm like, I would like to meet this person in real life.
And then go from there.
So can I just ask, do you ever talk on the phone before you meet face to face?
I have, not out of curiosity of what they would be like in person, but just because once I was driving in the car, and so I was like, it's much easier if I just speak to you over the phone. And I found that that was actually very helpful for the other party, because they said they were actually quite nervous whether we would get on as well in real life versus message. And he was like, well, now that we've had this phone conversation, I'm much calmer about that. I have less anxiety. So I think it's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, well, because I'm just thinking, you know, you said earlier you started dating in high school. So much of like dating in high school would have been on the phone in real life as your first kind of contacts versus now where you're kind of messaging and looking at a curated profile of what someone has put up there. So how would you kind of compare and contrast whether or not you like someone from those initial interactions?
So I think that's a very good question. So for me, I find dating apps particularly difficult because for me, what really matters to me is a person's character. So what they look like, what they do for a living, none of that plays a major role in whether I'm attracted to someone or not. So for me, dating apps is very difficult because you get a snapshot of very minimal things about a person. Yeah. You get an idea of their general values, but you have no idea if they are a kind person, if they, you know, all those things that I think really matter to me. Charisma, you can't tell that from a profile.
Yeah.
And so I find that using dating apps makes me feel a lot more judgmental and shallow than what I would be in real life, because in real life, you have that chemistry with someone where conversation really flows. They may not be, you know, a 10 out of 10, but I don't really care. So I find that a difficult aspect with dating apps. But you also, as a positive, you know what this person's relationship goals are. When you meet someone at a bar, you're not going to be like, oh yes, I'm looking for a life partner, thanks, I want two kids, all of these things. You don't get that at that initial conversation. And so you can waste a lot of time for someone who's not looking for a relationship, who don't want children, and these differ from what you want your life to look like. Apps are very efficient for that because it's all listed. They are a monogamous person. They want children. Do they have children? All these things are on their profile. So you can screen through a lot of people that probably wouldn't be compatible.
I never thought of it like that. It's so true. Like, if you met someone in a pub and you started dating, you're not going to ask those questions probably for a little while. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you're not going to go, oh, do you want kids on your second date or anything like that? Or you're not going to talk about a monogamous relationship yet. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I do. I think, I mean, possibly why I'm single. I am like, well, these are the things that I want. Does this align with you? And I think I say that from the very get-go.
When you meet them for the first time?
Maybe not the first date. Mm. So on the first date, I'd like to decide whether I'm even interested in you as a potential partner. But then I think conversations about what you want your life to look like, that's very important very early on. So I don't dilly-dally with that.
Do you think that's because it's your age as well?
No. You've
always been like that?
I think I've always been like that from the time where I was dating with the intention of making it last.
Yeah.
I think in my early 20s, I was not. I was very much focused on building my own career, my life, things like that. But now, and later 20s, when I was actually interested in finding a life partner, that's when I started asking all the value questions.
Yeah, when you started doing that. Do you wish there was anything that you did differently in your younger years or anything like that?
Many, many things. A woman who has made many, many mistakes is sitting right here. I would say the biggest thing is this, and it took me a very long time to realize, and only something that I've realized recently. I would say that it's important to voice what your needs are in a relationship, and everyone's needs vary. Now, it is entirely up to the other person whether they want to meet those or not. There is no point after time and time again, if they show you that they're not willing to meet you where you need them to be, to continue explaining what I do, which is, look, the research I've read from the Gottman Institute says none of this is useful. So the only thing that you have the right to do is choose whether this is something that you're willing to accept or not. It's not your right to say someone needs to change. The only thing that you can control and the only thing you have the right to do is decide whether this is right for you or not. And if it's not, walk away. If you're willing to accept it for other reasons, because for example, you want the marriage, you want the children, then stay and then let it go.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that I would say. If I had to speak to myself from the very beginning, that's what I would tell myself.
Just reflecting on that, do you feel like you had encountered red flags in previous dating encounters or relationships where you overlooked them when you should have taken them a bit more seriously? Is that what you were kind of getting at?
No, I think the partners that I've dated, although it hasn't worked out, I genuinely believe that they are good people who, in my opinion, exhibited behaviours that I didn't like, and Fiona knows a lot about this, but I do not believe that they are bad people. And in terms of red flags, I think nowadays people jump on that.
Yeah, it's everything a very big
is
thing.
A red flag. Yeah.
What to watch for, what not to.
Yes, and I think that's, it's like setting people up to constantly be choosing the next. It's like people are so disposable these days, and I don't believe that. I think we as people, we all make mistakes. I've made so many mistakes, and once you've made them, you learn from them, and you hope that the people that really care for you and love you will stick around for that. They shouldn't have to if you're behaving terribly, of course. Mm. But I don't think, you know, someone who one time, didn't buy you flowers on Valentine's Day immediately means they're a write-off.
Yeah.
I think there's too much of just next, thank you, next.
Yeah.
So when you go on that first date, what is it normally? Is it like, because like for me, like a first date back when I was dating was you'd meet at the pub or the club. We used to do a lot of clubbing back then, or university or something. We'd meet that way and go out. Like I think my first date with one of my other serious boyfriends was like a movie. What do you guys do nowadays? What's the first date?
I've always gone for drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to have a meal with them.
So I didn't know that that was a thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's many of the guys, I haven't actually dated that many people, but from a few of the guys that I did meet on Hinge, they were like, well, I wanted to do drinks first, and then if I've decided that I actually liked you, then we would have dinner. And I didn't know it was a thing. It makes sense. It's quite a financial investment and also time investment.
When you meet for drinks, what's the duration of drinks then?
On the Hinge dates I've gone on, they've all lasted for hours. My experience may be quite different to other people's, but normally it would be a few hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the other thing as well about dating nowadays, and you can correct me, is that, you know, like when I met my hubby, we just immediately start dating. But you could be on an app sort of dating a few people at the same time, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Like you could be having multiple conversations.
Is that called dating though, or is that called just like checking each other out until you start meeting?
Probably checking each other out. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what is it? We're hypothesizing.
Yeah. So there is a number of schools of thought on that. So I generally only talk to one person if I'm interested in them. If I find that I'm not interested in them, I'll usually stop talking to them and then move on to another person. Whereas a lot of women I know will talk to multiple. And in fact, a friend of mine, you know her as well, and she was saying that it's a numbers game. It's about going on many, many dates and then, you know, one of them's got to stick. Whereas I'm very different. If I have no interest in you, I wouldn't bother continually talking to you because it's a waste of my time.
Yeah, you'd finish up pretty quick. Yeah.
So when I was dating back in the day, we called that having multiple eggs in your basket.
Yes.
Is that still terminology that's used today?
Well, it is what that is, really. And a lot of, I think, dating gurus that you see on Instagram would suggest that because you're less likely to be very invested in this one person and you're more likely to end up with someone because you're seeing multiple people.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, that's just not how I really am. So I don't do that. But it is very common to be talking to and dating actually multiple people until that discussion of exclusivity happens.
Can I ask a question? This is something I'm wondering, and it be focused on both of you being millennials. Do people want to be monogamous nowadays? Do they want that? I mean, I know you've said express yes, but do you find that a lot of people want to do that? Because I feel like there's a lot of polyamory out there nowadays.
I think polyamory is very popular, and I think that's also because we live in Melbourne. I think a lot of people are polyamorous. A lot of my friends are polyamorous.
Yeah.
I would say that it's very popular.
Yeah.
And if anything, monogamy is
the less. Other way. Yeah.
I don't know if that's statistically correct.
Yeah.
But I do feel like polyamory is very popular.
Do you feel like as well, like people, your friends, like the people that, so they'd be younger than what I am, do they still want to get married nowadays? Like, do people still want to get married, or do they want to, I mean, obviously people live together and all that a lot more than when I was younger. You didn't really live together. Like, when Mladen and I moved in together, it was, like, horrific. People were like, you can't, you're living in sin, you know? Like, it was ridiculous. But, like, do you feel, does everyone still have that dream of getting married, like the Gen Xers did?
I think it depends on who you are. And when I say get married, I wouldn't care if we ever had a wedding or not. I think
you're talking about a partner,
about long-term
because it's
commitment.
It's such a different terminology nowadays, don't you think? Like,
I also think for so many of my friends, the cost of living and I guess your financial goals might be different. So, you know, you're weighing up: do I spend a huge amount of money on an elaborate wedding, or do I put that towards a house, or do I put that towards, you know, potentially starting a family and saving for what that might cost me? Mm. And so I would definitely say that I'm seeing a change in people might not get married, or they might have a registry wedding and a small party afterwards, but there's not as much of an emphasis on having, unless you're like into that Instagram world of showing big weddings, that's not as much of a focus.
Yeah.
From when I was young.
Because nowadays you don't need to be married to have children and things like that. Back in my day when I was in my 20s, you know, if someone was having a child out of wedlock, the literal words were, what would the neighbours say? You know what I mean? Right, like, it's such a freer world nowadays. So if I'm hearing it right, it's just that definitely want to partner up. The marriage, it's not the big M word though, you know.
Well, I feel like it might be nice to celebrate your commitment
together
with each other in front of family and friends. I think that's a very nice concept. But really, marriage is a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's not even legally more binding than, say, if you were de facto. So there really is no necessity per se. So for me, I feel like that's exactly that. I would maybe want a wedding. I don't know. I think it's a nice idea, but does it matter to me? Not really. But I'm not the girl that grew up dreaming of her wedding.
Of your Disney wedding.
Exactly. So that may...
You mean you haven't got your glory box and your whole magazine thing?
No, but I know that girls have done that. I know a girl whose dream was to have that wedding, and she had, you know, the Pinterest board well before she had the engagement ring.
Wow.
And it's something that people still really dream of. It's just, I'm not that person. So I think it's very person dependent rather than a generational thing.
Mm. What advice would you give people about dating?
I think there are a few very important things. One being self-aware of where you came from, your personal traumas, big or small, how that is going to impact an intimate relationship. I think you need to be very clear on your non-negotiables. And I think everyone could do with some work in understanding how to deal with conflict resolution well.
Yeah.
I think those three are very important. I also think another really important thing is your shared values. I feel there are probably, I would say, at least two things that I think are very important to discuss very early on, and I think they need to, in many ways, align And I think one is whether you want to have children or not, because I think if one party has to really change their mind about that and compromise on that, that's sacrificing a lot. The other, I think religion, I think that informs so many of our values and beliefs that I think it would be helpful to get a gauge on those two things. So I think, yeah, I think those two factors, but really what your life look like in, you know, 30 years. Do you want to be going out and partying every night, or do you want to stay home, live out in the country? These things, you really should look at that early on as a compatibility thing, because if not, later on, that's going to be a big conflict.
Yeah.
And in some cases, a perpetual one.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because I think that is like excellent just life advice as well, you know, for people to know about anything about themselves and relationships, friendships, everything. But I just find it fascinating that the dating apps were like star sign, you know, what's your love language, as opposed to where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? And, you know, those types of questions where, you know, if I said in 5 years' time I would be liking, I would like to set up a not-for-profit in India, that's a big thing that yes. you would want out there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe they should be asking these questions, but these are very, very personal questions. And I don't know how many people will be so willing to disclose, for example, all your past trauma that has influenced your intimate relationships.
Well, maybe not that, but maybe like what you're thinking about. What I really like how you keep talking about what do you see for your life going forward. Yeah. And I think that's a really good anchoring point to kind of say, this is what I want my life to look like. Do you have a similar picture of what you want your life to look like? Maybe you need to design a dating app.
I would love to. If anyone wants to hit me up about like designing a dating app, I would be all over it, all over it. Yeah, I think these are probably the things that I think people who are potentially going to spend a lifetime together needs to be very clear on. And I don't think, you know, what your life looks like technically isn't negotiable or changeable. But a few, like the two things that I mentioned, children is a big one. It's a big one that people, if you differ on that, that's going to be something that you will differ on possibly permanently.
Yeah.
Unless it's an age thing. For example, when I was early 20s, I didn't really want to have kids at that age, but I knew later on in life I wanted to have kids. Unless it's that, that's a big problem. And I also think if you are incredibly religious,
yeah,
and another person's atheist, you're going to have some problems as well.
Some big problems.
Yeah, some very big problems.
Are there times when you just don't feel like dating and you just close all the apps down and go, I don't want to do this anymore?
Absolutely.
What makes you do that?
I find that when I decide to date someone, there has been investment into that, investment of my time, my energy. If I feel, and it's always a disappointment if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And so there are definite times where I would like to spend that time and energy on doing something else. I'm sure you guys have all seen the memes of how a girl after a breakup would have gotten 2 degrees and, you know, traveled the world. There are times that I'm like, man, if I just spent the amount of time I spent explaining to my partner why this is a problem, I could have used that to, you know, have another job, travel to Europe, and
start a fashion line.
Yeah,
And I feel like there are definite times where I'm like, I really cannot be bothered at all. And I find apps, to a certain degree, quite disheartening at times. So, yes, I do take a break from dating.
Do you meet anybody organically anymore?
Yeah.
One of the biggest loves of my life, I met him organically.
He smelled good.
Must have been. Must have been wearing some Sandel 33 from La Labo or something.
So it's not like you're just like, okay, dating is just through these apps. Like, you've got a radar up to meet people, however that might be.
I think, actually, I'm rather oblivious in life. So I'm glad there are dating apps because I rarely get hit on and I rarely go out with the intention of finding someone.
Okay.
So thank God for dating apps. Otherwise, I would no doubt not have been on as many dates as I have. But no, I don't really have a radar, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would have to be pretty direct for me to be like, oh, so this is what's happening here. Okay. So you're romantically interested in me. Great. Tell me more. Yeah. Oblivious.
Oh my gosh, Alex.
Oblivious.
Oh, I can just see that happening though, because like I've been out with you before and you're just, whoever you're with, that's where your energy is. You know what I mean? Like, we're having a really nice time. You're not looking around. You're not
trying to catch the eye of the waiter.
I could just see exactly how that would happen, that you'd just be oblivious if anyone's going, oh my God, I want to go meet that girl. It's just, this girl's pretty and, you know, giving a lot of attention to her mates.
100%, because that's why I'm there.
Yeah.
I think also, like, I always commend someone if they have the bravery to go up to a woman, introduce themselves. I think that's really commendable. And men should do that more, because you'd be surprised. We'd actually be very kind about it if you are treating us with respect.
Yeah.
And frankly, I just like to be hit on every now and again. Thanks. It would be really validating and I would feel really pretty. So please feel free to hit on me if you see me on the streets. Yeah.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask you as a millennial, and, you know, as the millennial who watches the documentaries and listens to true crime podcasts, are you ever afraid? And it's not just from the online dating, it's just dating in this climate generally. Are you afraid when you go on dates?
I feel dating for women definitely poses a danger. But I think women live their everyday lives on a different level of fear. So I feel like there are definite precautions that I take when I go on a date with a complete stranger, essentially. It's how we live our lives. And I don't even register that I'm more afraid, because that's just my life on a daily. And I think it is for every woman out there.
It's kind of sad though, like when you think about it, but you're right. And I think it doesn't even matter if you're dating or not dating. Like, you know, if I was walking home from the studio and it was dark, I would walk in a particular direction that was more well lit, where there was people around. I wouldn't necessarily...
We make a promise to each other to text when we get home.
Yeah, we text home when we get home.
So we always say this thing and say, give us a text when you get home. And then, you know, Dash will text me and just go, are you home? You haven't texted. And go, no, I've just walked in the door. You know,
because sometimes I think she'll forget.
That's probably true.
And then I'm like, do I have Mladen's number?
Well, it's instinctual. Like, one time I didn't show up for a wine tour and my friend got so concerned, she rung my partner at the time. I was like, do you know where she is? It's not like her. She puts everything in her calendar. So for her not to show up, she must be dead. Like, it's just, yeah, I think we all do that. Like, at the end of the night, I always message my friends as well. It's absolutely what we all
do. Say we're all home safe. See, I just think if it was like that in my day, I would have done a lot more dating. Would have I met Mladen? You know what I mean? Because I would have been dating a lot more. I definitely would have been on the apps when I was younger. But the thing I'm finding with a lot of my friends nowadays, like I've got a lot of friends in their 50s and 60s, they're not dating at all. And when I say to them, you should go onto dating apps, I think because they're Gen X or they're boomers, they're just so afraid of them. And then they're like, no, I've got to lose weight before I go on, you know, to put a photo up and all this sort of stuff. And they're holding themselves back. I just think you got to do it. You got to put yourself out there to meet someone or... I don't know.
It's hard though. I mean, I'm still single, so the apps obviously aren't that great.
But at least you get out and you're meeting people. Like one of my girlfriends, she's over 65. But she looks like she's in her 50s, right? She's an amazing lady. And I just don't understand why she hasn't repartnered. And she doesn't go out to things that you could meet people, you know. And I'm always saying to her, you should go on apps and all that sort of stuff. She has this concept that she's going to get a venereal disease. Like,
that's fair.
And she's like, no, I can't, I don't want to risk that, you know. And so that's why she doesn't date, you know. And I'm just thinking, but she goes to me on the other coin, she goes, I really miss sex, I really miss it, you know. And it's just like, well, you got to put yourself out there, you know. I mean, you can be married and not have sex too, so it's
I don't know, like I at the moment, for example, I think I've said this to you, and I just said that before, the time and energy, like, oh, you know what? I'm right now a lot happier than I have been in a while and kind of like, you know, just good. Mm. And I think, is it like I'm still open to it, but, you know, applications are only open to 100 out of 100s at the moment.
Yeah.
So you get tired.
Yeah. And I would imagine it would cost a lot, like getting ready and outfits and Ubers and...
Time and money.
Honestly, I get it. I think you guys both did the right thing by settling down and being... Because I actually think it's horrible going on dates. I'm not going to lie. Because, like... Your best case scenario, you do really get on with the person and then you get to know them and then you're like, ah, right.
Because sometimes when you get married young, like I was 24.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're just young, dumb and full of cum. That's all you are. And there's none of this, do you want to have kids? And do you want to, it's just so heady in those hormone-driven years.
Yeah.
You just stumble into it and just get married. Now, there's heaps... Like, most of my friends have been divorced, to be completely honest. I got lucky, so that's good. But that's how it is when you're younger, I think.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if it is for the
young people nowadays. I wonder if they're more curated.
I feel like it's honestly just going to be luck. Because you could be the most self-aware, brilliant human being, gorgeous, successful, and just run into a bunch of people that aren't compatible for you. And that's just how it is. And as you get older, the dating pool
gets smaller.
Is shallower with a bunch of ugly fish, I'm telling you. Like, just, you guys are good. Yeah. Like, you did the right thing. You're very lucky. And I think, I think there is no partner that I look back on and...
That you have any regrets about.
No. You know, you do start asking yourself if you're the problem. And so I spent a lot of time working on that. And a lot of that, to me now, even looking back, it's sure I could have done things better. But I definitely think very unlucky the people that I ended up with.
Yeah.
So there is an element to that. And women now, we're in such a position of power.
Yeah.
Like we, for the first time ever, we don't...
We don't need men.
No.
Exactly.
Make our own incomes. We can...
Well, that's what I was kids. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that was the other thing I was going to ask you, because you are attractive. You have an incredible job. And so, you know, and you've done all of this cool stuff. Do you feel like men are threatened by that? Because they might be more mediocre than that.
So I think my female friends say that to me. I don't believe that's true.
I just find it fascinating because I know so many extraordinary single women.
I had to ask myself a question, a very serious question, maybe in my mid-30s, early 30s, I would say. I had to make peace with the idea of children. Of whether I was going to be with anyone at all. And I think I decided I would much prefer to be on my own than to live a life of like quiet desperation with a man that was going to ruin my life.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? Like,
yeah.
No.
The new Scorsese film. Yeah.
That revalidated every fear I had, because I was like, here is an example of a man completely ruining a woman's life.
Yeah.
And she would have been so much better off if she didn't have a...
It was Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, That's that movie. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And she loves him.
Yeah. Love makes you do stupid things. And so when I made peace with that, it just means that now I'm like, I'd still try. I definitely do, but I would not have stayed for as long as I did.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't. You just don't tolerate it.
I try to tolerate it, but it's just not in me. Like, because, you know, you try to look past it and stuff, but if those are your standards of what you have for yourself and for other people, if you try to, like, change that, it just comes up again and again and again. So there's it's just lying to yourself about yourself. You have to be really honest.
Yeah.
And when you are, you're like, oh, this doesn't work.
Well, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your story with us. We really appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
Thanks. This was great.
You were great.
Stop it. Stop it.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.